Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. I pray, great Father Yahweh, gives us today peace, joy, and love on this great Sabbath day. A couple of weeks ago, I heard a leader from Britain speaking, and he said, "We need to teach the children from an early age." And when he said that, I said to myself, how long has the great Last Days Witness been telling us we need to teach the children from a young age? He continued to say, and you know what? Paraphrased, of course, we need to teach them British culture. I said to myself, British culture, what would that be? In a nutshell, culture is any nation, any group of people, the beliefs, the customs, the habits, anything that they teach their children that goes on to the next generation. So one lord from Britain has an idea, or he wants to express his culture. Could we have, pay attention to the newscaster as he talks about the lord. Could we have the clip, please?
A former UK defence minister has come up with an extreme way to curb violence in Afghanistan and Pakistan. He wants to drop a neutron bomb on the country's border. RT's Polly Bolko has been following the story. Joins me live now there in London. So tell us more about this man, Polly. He's a lord, isn't he?
He is a lord. Let's take a listen.
Up in the mountains, the borders between Afghanistan and Pakistan, there's nobody living there except a few goats and having people handling them. If you told them that there were going to be some ERRB warheads dropped there, and a very unpleasant place to go, they wouldn't go there. And you would greatly reduce your problems of protecting those borders from infiltration from one side or another.
Those who did not catch what he said, of course, his culture, he said that there's nobody living in the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, so let's go ahead and send the nuclear bomb. And this thermonuclear bomb is the thing that, like, it burns the people to death, and of course it will not destroy the cities and whatever, the buildings. But I hope that the British people can be listening today, because we want to show true culture for now, Yahweh's way, taught and cultured by the house of Yahweh, cultured to our young people, praise Yahweh. And let's show them what truly they should have been teaching the children from a very early age, as the Great One sent has been teaching us. And with that, let us enjoy and listen to our great young teachers with the culture of Yahweh. And we will begin with Great Deaconess Yisraelia. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. If you remember Sabbath before last, one of the Kahans spoke about the water cycle, and he was speaking about how the missionary team went to a water treatment plant, and he said that Yahweh has already set in order a system to purify and to clean the water, that we don't need the systems that the world is producing. Now, in the world today, the teachers in the school will teach you about the water cycle. Today, let's consider the water cycle. And they use all these big, fancy words that make it seem like a complicated subject. But when really all they have to tell you is that Yahweh has set in place a system using the microorganisms, the heavens and the earth, and everything set in order to clean, refine, and purify the water after we've dirtied it and make it okay for us to use again. So this morning, we're going to take another look at the water cycle, this cycle of purification. May I have my slide, please? Okay, so look at the water and how it comes up from the earth, from all the different areas. You have the oceans, the salt water, fresh water, lakes, streams, volcanic steam, waterfalls, and the springs in the islands. And the water rises up, it evaporates and condenses, and goes up into the atmosphere. Then you have the precipitation, where the water is now coming back down and to the earth in many different ways again. You have the rain, the snow in the winter, the hail, floods, dew in the morning, fog, the snow melt running off from the tops of the mountains. Then what occurs to the water? It goes through the ground, the rocks, and the earth itself. Do you remember the Kahan on Sabbath? He was stressing how the water slowly seeps through the rocks, cleaning it slowly, getting rid of all the microbes that are harmful to us and the toxins and all the craziness that we put in the water. And then it's clean again, going into the wells and the plant uptake and the freshwater streams, clean again for us to use in all the ways that the future priestess this morning covered. So when the Kahan spoke on this, it hastened my thoughts to the house of Yahweh and how the house of Yahweh is going through a refining process as well. Do we get purified in only one way? No, we don't. Is it just like one test and then it's over? You write your answers and then you pass. No, it's not like that. We have to go through all the steps to clean us and refine us slowly through the fire so that we are able to be used as vessels of honor for Yahweh. Is that correct? Praise Yahweh. So, did anyone get tested yesterday? Maybe this morning? Anyone? Have you had your toes stepped on lately? Yes? No? Yes, you have. Maybe your children didn't pick up their clothes on the floor this morning. The children, that's part of it. Training and teaching the children. They're part of the refining process. We're training and teaching them in the way they should go. So don't think that they're left out of this. Yahweh is refining the children and he is using them just as much. Does anyone feel like you've had some alien thing come upon you maybe? You remember the apostle said that it's not alien? He said that everybody is being tested in different ways. And our pastor covered this just last week, I think. He spoke about how Yahshua himself was tested in many ways as we. So, don't forget, you are being refined, purified, and cleansed to be used by Yahweh. Even after, praise Yahweh, even after all the toxins and the confusion and all the beliefs that you got from the world, Yahweh is cleansing that. He's taking that out of you. And he set up a system, the house of Yahweh and the laws of Yahweh, to clean you up and make you beautiful and shiny and ready to be a benefit to others. Praise Yahweh. And with that, if you all please stand. I'm going to turn it over to our next teacher, Sister Naomi.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. How many of you want to become just like the 1 cent? Everyone's hand should be up. Okay. Well, I'd like to share something with you. The 1 cent works, so can we. Today, I'm going to talk about getting involved in the work so we can learn to become just like the 1 cent. A few months ago, in a sermon, Pastor told us, he said, everything that we're learning now, we're going to share it with others. Where can we find a job in the work? We can go to the south office, the north office, the cafeteria, or even stay and help with cleanup. And we heard in the announcement today that we can check the schedule and we can come this afternoon and help too. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 9 says, go to the priest who are like Levites and the judge who is in office at that time. Ask for the decision and they will give you the sentence of judgment. 2 Samuel 20, verse 18 says, then she spoke, saying, they used to speak long ago. To receive an answer, ask at Abel, and that would settle a matter. Now that we have a job, we're one step closer to becoming just like the 1 cent. We have to become a willing worker. If you're given a job you don't like to do, no one should ever know. And not that long ago, there was kind of a miscommunication via text message, and the person understood that I wanted to train in a certain work area, and so I ended up going there, and I did not want to do it at all from the start. I'm not the type of person who starts conversations with people unless I, like, know you really well. So in this job, I would have to talk to a lot of people, and I was, like, really nervous, and I was like, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it. And the person that was with me said, well, you're going to do it anyway, and no one is going to know you don't like it. And I said, so you mean I have to act like I like it for the next several weeks until I learn to like it? And she said, yes. And so I went in there, acted like I totally loved the job, and I did that for so many weeks. And then I was like, why am I still acting like I like this? Why don't I like it? And so I came up with like a list of the reasons why I don't like it. And I said, well, what can I learn from this? How can it help me grow to become a better person? And I made a list of that too. And every time I went in there and I had like a negative thought about why I don't like it, I replaced it with one of the reasons why I should like it. And now it's like I'm asking, like, when do I get to go in? What day do I get to go in? What time do I get to come in? Because now I actually enjoy it. So sometimes, crazy Owie, sometimes you don't like the job that you're given, and maybe you have to do like me and act like you liked it for the first couple of weeks, maybe the month. And then after a while, reevaluate and make that list of things, maybe from the start, of things why you should like to do it and what you could learn from it. Because right now, I like totally enjoy it, and I'm learning so much. So being involved in the work, we learn so much, and we can grow from being a part of the work. Another part of being a willing worker is doing what we are asked to do with a positive attitude. Be thankful we have a job. And when I was writing this speech out, and I put, be thankful we have a job, because 1 month I was not on the schedule. And that whole month, it was really hard for me, because it was like, I went to the head judges every single Sabbath, and I said, can I please have a job today? Can I please do something? And so I went to clean up, and I went to the captains. I was like, do you have anything I could do? Can I sweep the floor? Can I do something? Because when you don't have, when you're like involved in the work and then you don't do it for a little while, it feels like something's missing, something's lacking in your life. So get involved in the work. So let's continue on the road to becoming just like the 1 cent by standing in our place. Now that we have a job and we're doing it with a positive attitude, let's talk about standing in our place. We can stand in our place by showing up on time, and when we're finished with the job, we can ask, what else can I do to serve? In closing, I want to encourage you to find a job, be a willing worker, and stand in your place so we can become just like the 1 cent, our pastor, Yezro Hawkins. At this time, if you'll all stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, so today, I hope you're having a very great Sabbath, and I would like to talk on a topic that Pastor said is finally getting the world's attention. I want you to stop and think, what is something that's gotten your attention before? Maybe if you were, like one of the speakers says, enjoying the work so much you forgot you had to go to the bathroom or that you were hungry. How many of that has ever occurred to anyone? Okay, so something that's gotten the world's attention is, kind of look up, and it's not raining. Kind of look at the floor, and it's all dried and cracked, kind of like this picture shows right here. Animals are not having enough to eat. The seeds are starting to rot in the soil. And it's so hot, you can go outside and get a tan in like 30 minutes. Dark tan, too. It was prophesied for this last generation, and its cause is the same for mankind's confusion. What prophecy for the last days am I describing? You can give me an answer. Drought. I heard some people say it. Drought and global warming. So I looked up drought. We know that drought is when there's a lack of rain and it's not raining and it's dry. So drought from the Hebrew 7623, number 7623, is a desert, a dry land, wilderness, or dry places, or barren. And I want you to keep that word barren in your mind, because barren, in a drought, you don't have a lot of food and fruit being produced, do you? No. And the animals can't give much to you either. So let's go over to, the idea for this speech, I was thinking, what could I talk on? And most of the idea came from the Prophetic Word magazine, The Drought, and also the November 2012. So you can go back and read those for more information. Hope we have already. But let's go over to Matthew 24, verse 21. And this is where Yahshua talks, is giving the prophecies, some of the prophecies for this last generation. And verse 21, Pastor really, in these prophetic words, focuses on this scripture and another one we'll read after this. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then will be great tribulation, such as has not come to pass since the beginning of this world to this time, no, nor ever will be. And if you go to verse 7, It says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, famine come from drought, and pestilences, disease epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place. Now, if you keep that in your mind, what our great high priest said about the last generation, you go over to Daniel, where he talks about, Daniel 12, where he talks about the greatest time of trouble ever. You can write that down for your notes. So what is actually the cause of the drought? Pastor wrote in this Prophetic Word magazine, the 8-2014, on page 17, when I wrote, the head title is, Global Warming Could Be Stopped Now If We Act Now. See how. When he wrote this article, the 6-2007 Prophetic Word magazine, entitled The Real Cause of Global Warming, he says, I knew the only proof of the activities in the firmament are found in the inspired writings of Yahweh's prophets and apostles. And you can find that in the 12th book of Yisrael, part 1 and 2. A lot of it is explained there. Maybe the firmament is too complex for even today's increase in knowledge, but that's even more reason to study and understand. He explains how the microorganisms are being damaged in the air, which I'm sure he'll more about that soon, and they're not able to do their job correctly, so they can't produce that rain, allowing it to get dry on the earth, and then bringing all the other ripple effects from the drought. For example, no food, the famine. And I want to show you something. Here you have, just for a visual, when you have drought, your plants start looking like this. Can we see that? Withering away. That's how your crops start looking. They can crack and snap. And you don't have... It leaves not so much hope. It's a horrible sight. But if you remember the scripture Pastor read to us a few Sabbaths ago in Isaiah 43, verse 18, the blessings that Yahweh is allowing to come to his house where he will provide the water that we need. Praise Yahweh. And some of the sights you see around here, the beautiful sights that we have, are, you can see the life and the flowers and the trees, as opposed to the death. See that? Praise Yahweh. So I hope you continue to read and study, so any scientist out there who wants to ask a question, you can prove it. The Israel Hawkins answers. Now with this, we all please now turn to the next speaker.
Shalom everyone, you can be seated. Okay, now I'm going to be talking a little bit more of what I talked about last time with the genetically modified foods and what are some of the effects that come from it and how they are taking the people's choice away of what they eat. Now, it says that 60-70% of foods sold in the USA contain some amounts of GMOs. But it says, because the Food and Drug Administration considers them to be equivalent to the naturally produced foods, the GMs are not labeled in any way. They're not required to be labeled in the United States. Now, they say that it's almost impossible to keep the GMOs from crossing with the organic seed, the farmers that are farm organically, because of the cross-contamination of the nearby plants with the pollen from the GMO crops that could transfer certain genes from one plant type to the next. Now, the genetically modified foods are pretty much being pushed everywhere for the money. But there was an article, one that I found, of Argentina, whose the population is being sickened by the spraying of the herbicides that across the country. And the article says that studies strongly suggest that what these crops are being doused with can cause cancer and birth deformities, both which are occurring at increasing rates where spraying is being done. And someone said in the article, it's food for today, but hunger and cancer for tomorrow. Now, the people who are behind the Monsanto and the government, they know what these genetically modified seeds are causing. In the rest of the article, it says, when those affected from the spraying visit their doctors, they are told it's all in their heads. Authorities also turn a deaf ear, as does the government, when it's presented with scientific evidence of the dangerous effects of Monsanto's products for the people and the environment. And just with that right there, you can see, like it says in the scripture, that their love has grown cold because they know what it's causing, but they no longer have the respect for the people or even the environment. And they try to prevent the scientists from having studies on these seeds, because they know once they do, they'll find out the truth of what's really occurring. Now, the article says at the end that it's a win-win for Monsanto, but it's a loss just about for everyone else. So we can see a little bit of what they're doing to bring in money for themselves, and see why Yahweh created food for health, clean, healthy food for us to eat, because obviously the way they're doing it isn't working. And if you can turn to Genesis 1, verse 29 through 31. It says, "Behold, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then Yahweh saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very right." So you can see what the scripture says, that he can see that everything is right, that he created it perfectly without the need for mankind's better than creations. And everything that mankind twists out of greed only tears down our bodies. And we've learned that with many examples, the iodized salt, the artificial sweeteners, and also with the genetically modified foods. And when we change what Yahweh originally created for us, there's no way it can be beneficial for us. And that's why it's so important that we learn about these things, so that we're able to guard against what's taking place. And like it says in familiar scripture in Genesis 1:26, it says, "I will make man in my image according to my likeness, and they will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps." So we are the ones that are going to be guarding this food supply. So always remember, in conclusion, that you cannot improve on perfection. And remember that Yahweh's way is perfection. With this, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Hope you're enjoying your Sabbath so far. So, by show of hands, who here has been tested this week? Maybe even today? Yes, me too. Sometimes it can feel like 1,500 tests are coming at me at once. And sometimes it can feel like we want to just give up or quit. Throw our hands up and not even try anymore, right? But we don't. We keep going and working and striving. Why? Why do we keep trying? What is it for you that keeps you going, pushing you forward, even through the tests and the hardships that we can experience every day? We have to ask ourselves this and figure out what is our light at the end of the tunnel. I asked a few people this week what keeps them going through every day, and they said, the kingdom of Yahweh coming and being able to see Yahweh and Yahshua, seeing all the pain and knowing I can put a stop to it, having true joy with the people around me, and having true health in the kingdom of Yahweh. There is always light at the end of a tunnel and a rainbow after the rain. We have to remember that our journey may be stormy now, but our destination is clear skies. If we endure, then we can inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So we must strive and push through. There will be no sin and no pain and suffering in the kingdom, as it says in Revelation 21, verse 4. We always have to remember this when we think we can't take it anymore. Just think of everything you have achieved and that it is worth it. And sometimes all we need is to remember why we are here, what our goals are, and how far we have come. The end is coming very soon, and it's going to get much, much harder before it does. So each and every one of us has to set our minds in advance that even through all of the testing and trials, that we can make it through. Yahweh tells us that we can if we choose to do just exactly as he does every second of his day. It's okay to focus on the reward to help us drive us forward. We must continue to strive for perfection and endure, for the kingdom of Yahweh is ours. The kingdom of Yahweh is our reward. I hope that this has been encouraging for you, and please remember that we are almost there. We can make it and receive blessings if we endure. I'm going to leave you with a scripture, Jacob 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for he has been proved. He will receive the crown of life which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. So just remember that if we keep trying and doing everything that Pastor has said to do, that we can make it to the kingdom of Yahweh, and we will make it through. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may all be seated. The house of Yahweh, my book of Yahweh, the work, my family, electricity, a quilt, health, and learning how to drive. What do all these have in common? These are all things that I am thankful for. Today, we are going to talk about Positive Law 19. Be thankful to Yahweh in prayer, praise, and deed. We will review a few scriptures that help us remember to be thankful. On page 154, it is Deuteronomy 8:10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, then you must bless Yahweh your Father for the rich land he has given you. And on page 927, it is Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and be on guard in prayer with thanksgiving. Be thankful to Yahweh when we pray. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 on page 930. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of Yahweh in Yeshua Messiah for you. I have a few scriptures for your notes. Yochanan Mark 8:6. Yeshua gave thanks for the food before he fed the thousands of people. Ephesians 1:16, be thankful for each other in prayer. Colossians 3:15, be thankful to be in the house of Yahweh. Okay, now you all have an assignment, so if everyone will please get out a sheet of paper and a pencil if you have one. And in just one moment, I will give you 1 minute, and you will write down as many things that you are thankful for, but don't start yet. When the music starts, you begin. May I have my music, please? Up. Here's my list. It's like 6 feet long. And I hope you have a lot on your list too. I'm going to share what I have on my list. Number one is Yahweh, his 613 perfect laws, the house of Yahweh, the book of Yahweh, Yeshua Messiah, Israel Hawkins, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, my family, peace, health, joy, love, clean food and water, modest clothing, electricity, basic way of life, the work of Yahweh, the T8 program, music, and learning how to drive. Let's remember positive law 19, be thankful to Yahweh in prayer, praise, and deed. Please welcome the next speaker.
One, you may be seated. All right, so I have a question for you. What are we doing on our free time? Okay, you're probably looking at me and thinking, do I have any free time? But that's the problem. We have to find time to study. And in Psalms 1:2, it says, but his delight in the law of Yahweh and in his law, he meditates day and night. So he studies. He studies the law. So I looked up the word study in the Webster's Dictionary. It's to read in detail, especially when with the intentions of learning. Well, why are we here? To learn, right? But why is it so important to study? Well, so we can fully understand and look back to see what we've been taught. And Pastor wrote so many books just for us, so we can read and we can learn from them. But I don't know but if this ever occurred to you, but it occurs to me a lot. Like, I read a book, and then when I close up the book, I totally forget what I just read. That's why it's very important for us to go back and over and reread again. Because how long have we been reading the book of Yahweh for? Forever now, at least since I've been here. But there's always something that we just didn't see until someone actually pointed out to us. And that just shows us how much we need a teacher when we study, and we can't study without a teacher. And because if we don't have a teacher who's been inspired and understands the book of Yahweh, we will be just like the world, thinking that Eve actually literally ate an apple. But is that true? No. Because Pastor taught us and he showed us that there was a tree of life and a tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil. And Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil. But also, Pastor is exposing every lie that the beastly system says. And the beastly system say lies to deceive the people into believing them. But Pastor's able to expose their sin because he studies, and he's the one sent. And we need to study if we want to be able to answer all those questions when the 2 billion comes, because I'm pretty sure they're going to have lots of questions for all of us to answer. But don't forget, not only study, but to make time with the children to also study too. Like, study with them. And in Deuteronomy 6:7, where it talks about you must teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you rise up. So study with them. Try to make time for the children, because they will be also helping us to teach the 2 billion and answer their questions as well. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, it's on page 938, it says, study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth, the law, and the prophets. So when we study, we show Yahweh we are ready. And even when we're put on the spot. So are we ready? Praise Yahweh. I hope we're ready, because the 2 billion is going to be coming very soon. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Okay, today I have a little something. Okay, I want you to remain standing. Okay, if you can't stand, you can just raise your hand, okay? So I want you to remain standing if you love the house of Yahweh more than all else and would like nothing more than to be a part of this kingdom and experience and live the true joy taught and described to us and all those other nice things that people describe to Chananya.
Great, everyone still standing? Okay, great. Now, I'm going to start reading off a list of stuff, okay? And if you do not want it to be a part of your life, if you would not like to see it in the kingdom, I want you to start sitting down. Is that clear? Okay. Hypocrites, judging others, living a life of threats, husbands and wives filled with strife, racism, children who have potential but are degraded and spoke to harshly, all forms of hate, all sorts of lies, partiality, or a term we're all familiar with, which is a respecter of persons. So, I do not see none of you left standing, which is great. So I have a question to ask. If we say we don't want it then, why do we do it now? Now, I hope we all sat down because in our hearts it's something we really don't want to be a part of, something we don't want in our lives, and not just because we would look like an idiot standing alone while everybody else is sitting down around us. But it's just like habits, you know. When you set your mind in advance that you can overcome that, you're going to be able to when you stick to it. So it's the same thing with this. When you set your mind in advance to not want to fall in one of those categories that we just mentioned, we'll be able to do it. Now, I wanted to touch on just a little of the problems because I don't have much time to do them all. And the first one being hypocrites. Now, I know I lost the majority of you guys on hypocrites. Y'all started sitting down. And many times we fall into that category and we may not even realize it. A hypocrite is a person who pretends to have virtues, morals, beliefs, and principles, etc., that he or she does not actually possess himself. Now, hearing virtues, morals, principles, beliefs, all that combined in one makes you think of what? Yes, she's right. She's lipping it. But it is the peaceful solution, right? And many times we can quote, we can memorize, we can answer any question that's given to us about the peaceful solution. But if we don't practice it, what benefit is that to us? We're supposed to study to show ourselves approved and then apply it. And as representatives of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, it's our jobs to make sure that we practice what we preach. And we're quick to say how the Peaceful Solution has helped us. Anybody ask you, you start spitting all this stuff off, you know? Even if it's, I mean, you're still working on it, but, you know, you say it. Like, oh, I'm respectful to my parents, I'm respectful to so-and-so, or I can get along with others. So ask yourself these three questions, though. The person you're talking to, if they were to spend a week with me, would they be convinced that this program really works? If they've seen how my family and I interact, would they be convinced this program works? And if they were to work with me, would they be convinced this program works? If we answer no to any of these questions, then we've got some work to do. But remember, it's not about how long it takes us to get there. Everybody has imperfections. It's how much effort we put into trying. Praise Yah. Okay, now, moving on, racism. That's a speech in itself. I don't have really much time, maybe another time. But I quickly just wanted to say, the only thing that children should know about racism is that it's wrong. And the only color that they should see is the colors in their crayon box. Praise Yah. Now, judging others, it starts by always concentrating on the other person, right? What we think they need to overcome, what they need to do, instead of looking at ourselves and thinking we know what they need to work on. But instead of focusing on them, let's start focusing on ourselves. The scripture says, let's see if we all remember it, remove the beam from your own eye before you take the speck out your brother's eye, correct? And if we can't quit judging others, what we need to do is practice judging ourselves first. Put your feet in their shoes, praise Yahweh, yes. Because we all have sin and we all have imperfections. Everybody's still working on it. Jacob said, if you break one law, you break them all. Sin is sin. None's greater than the other. And everybody at some point, we hear it all the time afterwards, they always wonder, are they talking about me? I bet they were talking about me. You know, they keep just saying it to you. So I'm going to clear it up once and for all, okay? Yes, we're talking about you, okay? I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me, I'm talking to all of us, okay? Yes, praise Yahweh. Any time that pastor, the Kahans, or any teacher comes, they're speaking to us, okay? They're speaking to me. Because remember, we're here to learn everything that we can to help improve ourselves, not improve the person sitting next to us. Now, I have a picture, if I could have it real quick. Come on the screen. Hope you can read it. I'll read it just in case you were you can't see it. It says, "Hey, Satan, reread the back of the book, and guess what? You lose." Praise Yahweh. Okay. Now, I said in the beginning that if you didn't want any of those categories that I was naming off to sit down, right? You didn't want it part of your life. You didn't want it in the kingdom. Well, we know it's not going to be a part of the kingdom. Okay? And we all know that these things will be not in the kingdom, and we have to continue improving our lives. And like Satan, if we don't work on getting it out, we'll lose too in the end. And the same message goes to Pope Francis as well. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the next speaker, Great Head Judge Chana.
Shalom. You may be seated. Feast is in less than a month now. Are you guys excited? Well, the new moon, we've got that coming up in about 2 weeks. We've got Day of Atonement. And don't let it be that you're just hungry. Let it be that you're really examining yourself during these times. We need to make this the best feast ever coming up. Best feast ever. And it's up to us because we're the ones that make it the best feast, right? Okay. We need to teach our children to make it the best feast ever, right? Parents, let your children rejoice at this feast. Let your children rejoice at this feast. It's our duty, our obligation, and our eternal life if we let our children rejoice at Yahweh's feast, right? Praise Yahweh. Now, today we have some great speeches to get us ready to learn how to rejoice at Yahweh's feast. And I'm going to turn it over to myself for the first teacher today. Praise Yahweh. And the title of my speech is A Recipe for Making Friends Out of Enemies. How many of you like recipes? Raise your hands. Okay, I have a recipe for you for making friends out of enemies. Show of hands, how many of you have ever had a friend? I hope nobody has their hand down. You should have at least had one friend in your life. Now keep your hand up if you've ever had an enemy. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about my enemy. I am not shy to share. Okay? My enemy takes great joy in pointing out all my faults. She constantly tries to steal my joy from my walk with Yahweh. She tries to tell me I'm not great enough, I haven't overcome enough, I can't do this right, I can't do that right. She complains. She's constantly complaining about all of you. In fact, she whispers in my ear sometimes, if this is the kingdom. Have you ever had an enemy like that? She's very negative. She has negative tendencies she's trying to overcome. She actually takes pleasure in putting me down. And I'm here to tell you that my enemy is me. How many of you have fallen into that trap? Oh, I'm not alone? That enemy gets around. Because there's a greater enemy than that that is putting those thoughts in that enemy's mind. To tell you you can't make it. To tell you that when that sister stepped on your toe, that, oh, how could she do that? Is this the kingdom if she stepped on my toe that hard? But this is exactly what I want to speak about today. Because through a particular program, it's so funny that the other teachers talked about this, because I did not know what they were going to talk about. This Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, we have the Respect Unit, and it talks about replacement thoughts. You've all read that program, right? Replacement thoughts. Now, in order to get rid of that enemy and to change that enemy into a friend, we have to do some replacing of our thoughts. Now, I'm going to tell you right here that this is a great place to start. This is the prophetic word. It is the February 2014 prophetic word, and I'm going to read an excerpt. And Pastor says, he greets us, and he says, This is on page 1. Yahweh, the creator of mankind and us, created mankind for the purpose of giving him or her authority over the entire universe. And heaven is thankful that Yahweh is trying mankind first. Right? The trying. Because he says, before turning them loose with all this authority. So heaven is very, very thankful that Yahweh's doing this trying right now. I'm going to continue reading what Pastor says here. It says, what makes mankind so special, so when that enemy tries to tell you you can't do it, you know, Pastor says we're special. What makes mankind so special is not what he is today. No, not what I am today, standing here before you with all my imperfections trying to overcome. But Pastor says, but what his or her potential holds in the purpose for which they were created, as revealed by Yahweh's inspired prophets as they wrote under inspiration. Now, Yahweh is turning up the heat. Can you feel it? Okay, great. Now, in my recipe that I'm going to give you today, you're going to need a canning jar, a pressure cooker, and a heat source. Okay? I want you to remember that. A canning jar, food, a pressure cooker, and a heat source. Keep that in mind. Now that we know that Yahweh's turning up the heat on us, I want to talk about some of my friends. Because in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, it talks about how you have to replace these negative thoughts with positive ones, right? Do we all know that? The best place to start is with some positive friends. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of my friends. One of them, her name is Nora. Now, this woman, even though hypocrites and haters were persecuting her, I mean big time, she didn't allow negative thoughts to overtake her. She did not allow herself to hang around with enemies. She continued the work with no doubt, right? Do you remember Nora? I hope she's one of your friends too. Okay, you know, your walk isn't always going to be easy. I want to tell you about another friend of mine. Her name is Miriam. She gave birth to Yahshua. She raised him up in righteousness. I mean, this guy was perfect. And she had to sit there and watch him get drugged, arrested, and murdered for the things that she taught him. Was her life easy? Did she give in to the enemy within? No way. I'm going to tell you about another friend of mine. I don't know him. I haven't met him personally, but his name is Noah. This guy was in the house of Yahweh a very long time. He built a big ark. And it didn't rain, and it didn't rain for a really long time. Did he give up? And he was here a lot longer than we are, okay? What about our pastor? I saw him get arrested. He gave up family, friends, many, many things. And he's still tirelessly doing his job. Do you think he gave in to the enemy? No way our pastor wouldn't give in to the enemy. I've seen him go through so much. I'm going to read a couple scriptures for you, though. Jacob 1, verses 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. I used to think, what were the apostles thinking to write that? Count it all joy? I was like, dudes, I don't know what you're thinking. Now I understand, because I didn't get to the next verse. Knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. And endurance, let it have its perfect work in you, so that the enemy will get out and you will be perfected. 1 Kefa 5, verse 10. But may all merciful Yahweh himself, who has called you to his eternal glory in Yahshua Messiah, after you have suffered a while, let's insert a long while, okay? Perfect, establish, and strengthen and settle you. Okay, so we can get rid of that enemy within, right? What about Jacob 1:12? Somebody already read this. Blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation, for when he or she has been proved, he or she will receive a crown of life which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, today, tomorrow, yesterday, are not even worthy to be compared. Underline that. To the glory which will be revealed in us when we get that enemy out. I want you to write down for your notes 1 Kefa 1, 6 and 7, and Acts 14:22, because my time is running short. And I want to read an excerpt from Pastor's sermon given on 12-19-09. Pastor said, "Well, are you ready? Are you ready spiritually? Have you overcome everything that Yahweh wants you to overcome? He's waiting on you. We're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you to get ready." So I'm sorry, I just read that. So I'm going to get ready now. If I've been the one holding this up, if you're all already perfect, it's me. But what does this have to do with canning jars, food, pressure cookers, and a heat source? I hope you figured it out by now. We are the jars. We're all packed in this pressure cooker called the House of Yahweh together. Okay? That's the House of Yahweh. Yahweh's laws is the food, that spirit holy within us. We are pressure cooked with tests and trials to prove that we're ready to be sealed. Have you ever seen a canning jar that's not sealed? It doesn't seal. All that's in there is rotten food, and you can't eat it, and it's not fit for the Father's use. So, sisters, House of Yahweh, only those who endure to the end in this pressure cooker are going to be able to be used by Father Yahweh. So let's make a friend out of that enemy with the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program and all of Yahweh's words that he gives us by our great overseer. And let's choose to replace those negative thoughts with positive thoughts and chase that enemy down the road. Praise Yahweh. And with this, if you'll all please stand, I'd like to introduce our next speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Okay, so I'm going to bring you back many, many years ago when you went to school for the first time. You remember those days? I mean, the only thing I remember was school supply. I love school supply. I mean, if you could get markers and you were a little kid, your mommy was in trouble. But yes, markers, right? Even if you had homeschool, I mean, school sale was big, though. You know, that's when the moms, they all go to Walmart and get things on sale. Crayons, glue. I mean, it goes on. Scissors, little kid scissors. Safe scissors, mommy. And remember when you grew out of this? Remember that? And you finally got big and you got the small pencil. I know, those were the days. It was so much fun. But it cost your mom and your dad some money, didn't it? Every year, you know, every year into high school. It got even crazier in high school because then you had a car, and that was gas. And then you wanted planners. Oh, you wanted five subject notebooks, and it just got, the list got bigger and bigger and bigger. And you just think it gets better, doesn't it? And you enter college. Ooh, now this is the big one. Because all you're seeing is this, right? That's all you're seeing is the bling things. Oh, a lot of money, right? Sparkly, nice. And you're thinking, if I go to college, this is what I'm going to make right here, right? This is what I'm going to make. But just like with the school supplies, it's actually a cost to your pocket. Okay, this is not really what you're going to make. This is what's going to cost you. And if you notice, there's an S in there. It's kind of deceptive, right? They didn't tell you in the fine print when you were going to college that the S was STD. So can I please have my video to explain all this?
I got mine when I was 18.
I got them when I was 21.
Student loans.
Student loans.
I contracted student loans at 19, and I'm one of millions.
Almost half of all Americans between the ages of 18 and 22 are fiscally active. Many do not understand the risk they are taking when they contract a student loan.
All of my friends were going to college. I just wanted to fit in. Now I have a degree in comparative philosophy, no job, and a full-blown case of student loans.
Studies show that those infected with student loan debt are less likely to date regularly or have bed frames. Even if not exposed to student loan debt directly, they can be transmitted by legal marriage.
I married the love of my life. Except she didn't tell me about her student loan debt. Now it's our student loan debt.
It is possible to lead a healthy, active, fulfilling life with student loan debt. Just not for very long.
I used to love cereal. Then I contracted student loan debt, and now it's all I eat. I miss protein.
Student loans only get worse with time and can manifest in many ways. Studio apartments, having roommates well into your 30s, top ramen, and driving a car older than yourself. If you have been exposed to student loan debt, contact an accountant today. There is no cure for student loan debt, and there is no hope.
So have rich parents.
Have rich parents.
Have rich parents.
Or play the lotto.
Hey, you never know. Paid for by the New York State Lotto.
That is a very true story. It's a very, very true story, because when I was going to college, I worked hard. I worked hard for scholarships night and day, and it was crazy. And I got full scholarship for college, and I felt so, what they call, proud. Felt proud. I was going to college free. And I was going to a Catholic college that was endorsed by Pope Francis. I'm not going to say what the name is, okay? And it cost a buku of money, lots and lots of money. And then, of course, Yahweh wanted to show me the light at the end of the tunnel. He said, "You're going to move." And I'm like, "Oh, no. Then I got to find a new college. And where's all the money going to go?" Well, I got a new college. I went to a new college. And in the fine, fine print of the cost of the college, it gave me loans. And I said, "Oh, no. I can't go there." And my mom said, "Cross that out. Go and tell them you want no loans." But that cost us $4,000 out of our pocket for half a year. That is the STD. That is the student tuition debt for trying to get knowledge and wisdom from the world. But let's talk about the real STD too. Do you remember Pastor talked about how these college students are getting raped? And the rate of it is so enormous, because they say in the article in Wikipedia that 1 out of 4 college women gets sexually assaulted. They get raped. But only 95% of them report it. So it makes you wonder, well, what is the actual numbers then, right? What is the actual numbers? It's a little scary, very, very scary. But is it worth the cost to get that kind of knowledge? Is it worth that $4,000 I had to go in debt for? Not really. It's not worth that cost. And I want you to understand that in the house of Yahweh, everything is for free. Is that true? Every single knowledge is for free. No fees, no STDs, and free, free knowledge. But what is knowledge? Knowledge is the wisdom. And you think about the word wisdom. It's not just being smart. Wisdom is when you can apply that information. It's information that you can apply to your life, right? Information you can apply to your life. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 12, for your notes, it says, "Wisdom gives life to those who have it." Wisdom gives life. So, yes, at times we do have lots of supplies. We do have lots of supplies in the house, yeah, because as you grow up, you know, your boot bag kind of change, you know, and you get a nice fancy one, you know, fake leather, but, you know, nice. Okay? And then you pack it up with all these wonderful House of Yahweh supplies, right, that encourages you. And not only that, but you can still buy your school supplies of the gold pencils, right? We're all going gold and purple now. So it's things that you can still look forward to, this great wisdom of Yahweh. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16, on page 497, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. I just want to read verse 18, okay? This is wisdom. "She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Wisdom, blessed are those who hold fast to her." And this in the house of Yahweh is the wisdom. So hold fast to it. Don't contract the STDs. Don't, please. It's an abomination. Everybody knows that, right? So keep your mind and your heart set here with the wisdom of Yahweh. And with that, I'd like to turn it to our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, you may be seated. Is everyone rejoicing on Yahweh's Sabbath day?
Praise God.
Okay. My title today is True Knowledge, True Empowerment. And I have a subtitle, which is Their Values versus Our Values. Today we're going to look at the two value systems, and then we can decide which one you want to choose. Now, as we know, the media and the schools of higher learning are very powerful and influential tools that set standards and ideals for us to live up to. Ideals that many people strive to achieve, but in most cases they never achieve them. Why? One, they are mostly unrealistic, unachievable, and sometimes very elusive or misleading. But the most important thing I want you to be aware of is the effect that these standards have on our character and our behavior. Now, in striving for these ideals, many people encounter negative social behaviors as well as negative character behaviors. I'll give you one for example. Whether people realize it or not, many people experience what they call inferiority complex. Now, what it is really is a lack of acceptance of oneself, right? For example, they may set an ideal for us on the TV or the media, and many people may strive to achieve that ideal, to look like that person. She's supposed to be perfection in beauty and glamour and so on. And many people strive, whether consciously or unconsciously, to meet up to that ideal, but they never do. Why? Because Yahweh made us all differently. We have different features, we have different forms, so we can never really look exactly like another person. So here they are setting a false objective for us to achieve. So in doing so, they cause us to not accept ourselves, a lack of acceptance. Another way the media and the schools of high learning influence us is that they cause us to disrespect ourselves. We do so when we are influenced to dress immodestly, to be accepted by others, or to attract the opposite. They also teach us how to be discontented with what we have. A person might have an older model vehicle, for example, but we can find no problems with it. But due to pressure from the media and society as a whole, they begin to desire something new, a new model vehicle. And suddenly begin to find fault in the one that they have, you know. It needs a little paint job, it needs a little, you know, how rusty there. And so a desire is created for something that they may not really want. So they create discontentment in many, which often leads to lust and also envy. Competition. Many people compete with each other for the latest cell phone or the latest iPhone or the latest technology. And you know, we see it all over this whole society, all over. So these are just a few ways in which the media and the schools of higher learning influence our actions. But what are the results of this type of striving? What are the results we see in our society? Well, it's very evident. Check the statistics, check the facts, and you'll see that many women, an increasing number of women, are performing plastic surgeries to change the way they look. They want to look like someone else. They don't accept themselves. Lack of acceptance. We are seeing an increase in aggression towards women from the opposite, like verbal disrespect, physical disrespect. We are seeing an increase in thefts and stealing because the media has created a desire within many people for things that they may have need, brand name sneakers, brand name appliances, shoes. They steal those things because they desire them. They don't need them, but they desire them. We see an increase in divorces. They say 51% of all marriages end in divorces, and 80% are the result of financial conflicts. between husband and wife, not enough money to buy that new car or that new house or that new TV. So conflicts arise and divorce ensues. We see a rise in STDs as people jump from one partner to the other. We learn also that 70% of all offenders, that is those who commit crimes and violent acts, came from broken homes, divorced parents, don't want to guide and direct and love, you know, and give proper supervision. So these are the results of today's standards and ideals that we see in today's society. Do we want this type of value system in our lives? No, we don't. They are amongst the nothing. Well, let's go quickly to the house of Yahweh and see what Yahweh has to offer. In Yahweh's house, we are training for a kingdom that will last forever. It will never end. We are learning our true purpose in life and how to achieve that purpose. We learn how to live peacefully with each other and with ourselves, how to solve conflicts and resolve conflicts peacefully. We are learning how to have true joy and abundance, Yahweh's way. Perfect health we achieve here. We learn to accept ourselves and others for our own uniqueness. We are willing to put on the character of Father Yahweh. Yahweh is going to give us power over the microorganisms, which will further empower us to be able to raise the dead. Now, I think that is an awesome feat for a human being. Never could in the history of mankind. We are learning to live forever. Now, to me, these represent true power, true values, and true empowerment. What do you think? Yes, Harry. Do you want this type of value system? Raise your hand. Yes, we do. Okay. Now, I'd like us to hear a few very empowering statements from our great overseer that will remind us of our purpose here in the house of Yahweh as called out ones, and that reaffirms our values. Can I please have my video clip?
The only reason for you being here is that his first sons failed. And Yahweh says, I'm going to create mankind, and I'll choose from them the ones that will obey, that will listen and obey and keep their appointments with me for all future learning. So he created you. And when Yahweh calls you out and says, and brings you to his house, you can bet, rest assured, you have the greatest honor ever offered to mankind. Right here. You must bring forth this kingdom yourself, and you must believe in it 100%. But come to perfection, and let's all be a part of it together, and we'll live joyously ever after. And we'll live joyously ever after. That's a promise from Yahweh. That's a promise from Yahweh. That's a promise from Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!
Okay, very, very empowering statements from our great overseer. So I'd like to conclude by reminding all of us to seek true knowledge and true values, and there's only one place we can find that, and that is at the house of Yahweh. And with that, if you please stand for the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Today, I would like to speak on the topic on anyone hiring. Praise Yahweh. I must confess that as time goes by, being in the house of Yahweh, we have become complacent, not thankful and appreciative of all the things and blessings we have in our life, right? We tend to forget every now and then. Of all the things Overseer has done for us every day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade. I am blessed to speak ever so often, and the amount of energy and research that goes into it is a bit overwhelming. It is. And if I had to do it every week like the overseer, I would certainly die from anxiety. I would die. But not overseer at all. Never him. He gets up here and does it week after week, time and time again. Have we ever considered the amount of studies that goes into that? The amount of energy, research, things like that? No. We took it for granted. In the last 6 months alone, what has the overseer done? What has he done? Okay, let's see what he has done. He has written six newsletters, six PWs, one Book of Israel, and we can't forget the PW program in 6 months. That is what he has done. On top of that, he answered his two phones, solved all our problems, provide us with everything we need. He has done all of that for us. But we have taken it for granted. And one more thing. A little birdie told me they even saw him mowing the lawn. Overseer pushing the lawnmower, mowing his lawn. Praise Yahweh. And imagine he is 80 years old. 80 years old. Can you imagine 80 years old? No. According to the world standards, overseer should be retired. Living in Miami, in a beachfront condo, wearing a Hawaiian colorful top, Bermuda shorts, all because Texas coldness is too cold for his joints. That's what 80-year-olds do in the womb. But I'd like to all of you to consider, what have we done in the last 6 months? Think back. Have we done all of this? No. No. We can definitely agree that Israel Hawkins is doing his job. Praise Yahweh. That was assigned to him by Yahweh. The word job in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary says it is a task or duty, a piece of work, a result, a product of such action. I would like to read from you from the Book of Israel, the 13th Book of Israel, Part 2, Gold, Pure Fine Gold, on page 144, verse 6. It says, I'm the witness. I'm also the prophet spoken of who got to prophesy in the last days. In chapter 10, Revelation 10, verse 7, I am the seventh and last messenger of Yahweh. He is very passionate about his job. He believes in it 100%. And that is what we have to do also, sisters. We have to believe in this work. Because this work will never fade nor pass away. It is forever. Praise Yahweh. Our job in these last days is to become in the image and likeness of Yahweh. That's becoming a permanent member of his family. What greater honor than can we have than that? To be sons and daughters of Yahweh, the Creator. But first, we must prove ourselves to Yahweh. We are in the interview stage of our jobs. And we must ace this interview. Otherwise, we will not be hired. for a permanent position in the house of Yahweh. So we need the keys to qualify. First, we must go to the place Yahweh chose to place his name, which we know in the last days is the house of Yahweh. Secondly, we must repent and confess our sins. We have heard all these scriptures over the years, many, many times, nothing new. Then we have to get baptized. We have all done that. We have baptized. Fourth, we need to convert. That's the catch there. We have to convert. No one never said it would be easy, because we always want everything right now, right here, the way I want it. But no, it's not about the way you want it. It's about the house of Yahweh and the pattern he has set for us. We must develop a positive moral character, such as responsibility, reliable, self-control, not getting angry with your sisters. Also, we must study to show ourselves approved. We must keep up with the house of Yahweh writings and teachings. And most of all, we must love our brothers and sisters as ourselves. We are no longer with the mindset of the world, putting themselves first. No, we have to put our sisters first by serving one another and finding a job in the house of Yahweh, serving on the Sabbath. During the interview process, we must remember we are working for Yahweh to prove to him that we can do it. We can overcome. Do not let Satan cause you to look back from what you are assigned to do. Sisters, do not eat and drink and raise up to play. Don't be slothful. Get involved. Prove to Father Yahweh we are worthy of this job before us. And then we will hear two important words. You're hired. Yahweh will tell us we are hired to become a part of this work, to teach the universe to sin never again. That is awesome. Don't forget that. That is what we are here for. And I would like to take this opportunity to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I'm going to continue on with the last presentation that I had performed. And the title of my presentation today is, Where's the Rain? In Eob 26:7-10, it states, He stretches out the north sky over in an empty space, and he hangs the earth upon nothing. He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters as a boundary between light and darkness. The questions that the scientists are asking right now is, does the rain come from life in the clouds? Formation of ice in the air depends on water molecules latching together in a very specific hexagonal pattern that resembles three-dimensional chicken wire. May I have my videos 1 and 2, please? Once enough water molecules organize into that pattern, an ice crystal grows rapidly. The droplet freezes in an instant, but getting that hexagonal patterned ice embryo to form in the first place is difficult. At just below 32 degrees, more than 100,000 water molecules need to latch together before the crystal becomes stable enough to grow on its own. Since water molecules are constantly dancing around with thermal energy, the likelihood of enough water molecules happening by chance to strike this collective pose is exceedingly low, even at much colder temperatures. Some particles facilitate the process, however, through a process called nucleation. And the video is the pictures of the ice crystals that these scientists in this one university have actually taken pictures of. And it's from snowcrystals.com. If you want to go to that website, you can actually see the pictures of the six-sided ice crystals that the scientists have taken pictures of. Now, the scientists have actually come to realize that there are microorganisms in the atmosphere. There's over 2 million bacteria that they found in the atmosphere, as well as 500,000 fungi and also yeast particles that are in the atmosphere. And in all of this mix, only 1 out of 1 million microorganisms have the ability to create ice crystals that allow the formation of precipitation, the water droplets, and the rain. Yahweh created these microorganisms with a gene that helps them to facilitate the formation of ice crystals that actually precedes the process of the formation of rain. If I could have video 3, please. Now, these crystals are forming in clouds, and the clouds, everybody thinks that the clouds are way up in the atmosphere, but the clouds are part of an ecosystem where the clouds actually interact with the Earth's crust and where we are. So whatever clouds run into up in the sky, and also what they run into at the surface of the Earth, actually has a bearing on whether these ice crystals will form. And it says, a cloud over a mountain may look stationary, but it more closely resembles a standing water in a river, an atmospheric river. As moist air rises, falling temperatures cause water vapor to condense into droplets, giving rise to clouds. New droplets form in a cloud every second, but any given droplet lives for only an hour before the current sweeps it down the far side of the mountains, causing it to rewarm, evaporate, and vanish. Only an ice crystal can grow quickly enough to hit critical mass and fall during that short time. And ice, as I explained, does not form easily. If I could have video number 4, please. The atmosphere is also filled with STDs and infectious microbes. And these microbes are created by us. They are the abominations that we have created because of our sins, because of the fornication, because of the adultery, because of the homosexuality and bestiality. We have created STDs that the soil microorganisms cannot break down. And you say, well, what does the soil microorganisms have to do with the atmosphere? The soil microorganisms are where people get the antibiotic drugs that we use to stop the abominations that we created. Scientists have actually found that these microorganisms all around the globe each carry antibiotic resistance to the very drugs that we created from the soil microorganisms. So our abominations have created the death cycle that we are living in right now. And if I could have video 5 again when this is done. This video right here is an actual HIV cell raping a T cell. And if you notice that the cells around the HIV virus was able to move around, but the cell that the HIV virus had grabbed hold of could not be released. It tried to release, but it could not be released because it had to be infected with the HIV virus. Now, these pictures are the devastation of a 14-year drought that we are going through right now. The first pictures are from California. It's the Folsom Dam went from full to empty in 2 years. The Lake Oroville was the other pictures that you saw, that you can see, you saw that there is no water left. And the last pictures are Lake Mead and Hoover Dam. Now, Lake Mead was built for the droughts. And as you saw, within 10 years, it dropped 100 feet. It has dropped 20 feet in the first 3 months of this year. That is what we have created in the abominations of the micro-kingdoms. Yahweh created these micro-kingdoms to keep the earth healthy. And if you go to Isaiah 24:5, he actually gives us the prediction that he had given his prophets of old. The earth is also defiled under the inhabitants of it, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. If you want answers and solutions to these questions, please go to Yahweh.com or YisraelHawkins.com. The answers are there, and it is in Yahweh. And with that, I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom again, Saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. I said I was going to talk a little more on the term culture. And just to refresh our memory from earlier, culture we said was all the beliefs, customs, habits that one nation or one group of people teach their young, and that goes on from generation to generation. Now, what do you think with that definition? Do you think it stands to reason to say that the house of Yahweh, we have our own culture? For example, honey butter balls, as somebody mentioned earlier. And all the things we do that we teach Yahweh's children, we train them, and we want that to be in their DNA and become a part of their life. Now, last time I spoke about pepper. May I have Pepper the robot, please? And culture doesn't have to be written out in a book and say, our culture is so and so and so. Culture is taught by the examples of the adults, by the books the children read, by the things they buy. Of course, by the experiences that we as a nation, whatever group of people, give them. Pepper, she's gone. If we could have her back a little bit. She's supposed to be the next babysitter. House of Yahweh children, do you think she knows the Ten Commandments? Well, let's ask her an easy one. Pepper, do you know the name of the last day's witnesses? Children, they say that Pepper, the robot, when the child is happy, she will keep the child happy. When the child is sad, she will try to make the child happy. Let me ask you a question. We know that children in the world now, they suffer from malice. And all the microorganisms now that the children have that have changed their nature. When the child begins to show anger and rage, what is Pepper going to do? Do you see how big her hands are? Very nice. With that said, who teaches us our culture, meaning our beliefs and our customs? Can you turn with me quickly to Isaiah 54, verse 13? So we can make a distinction with the house of Yahweh and the world's. And from then on, we won't call it culture in the house of Yahweh. We'll call it the way of Yahweh. Isaiah 54:13 says, all your children will be taught by Yahweh, and great will be the peace of our children. Peace of our children. The world has a war culture. Our children are going to have peace when we teach them Yahweh's way. True or false? Very nice. Let me show you something. So we went to get something about culture for the children. And you remember Lord Gilbert earlier? He said that he was glad also that the nuclear bomb was invented. He was delighted. So the way of the world is a way of war. It is taught to the children. So I said, well, let's see other culture things that they want to really teach them and train them in. And you won't imagine what I have here. Anybody knows? We don't know that. We don't teach that culture in the great house of Yahweh. So this is his bag. Your little boy will have a bag.
And in the bag, he will have his... I'll read it to you. It's a 7-piece set. He will have his gun. He will have his knife. You know what? There was a slot for the knife and the knife disappeared. Do you think somebody stole the knife? He will have his headset. He will have his hood. Don't, Esther. He will also have the backpack to keep it in. And guess what he's going to have? His 2 grenades. It is a culture of war. We, the house of Yahweh, we want no part to do with this. It is the way, praise Yahweh. It is the way of Cain. In the house of Yahweh, we want to teach peace, true peace, taught to us by the great last day's witness, Yisrael Hawkins. And this is the way we want for our children. And they're asking now, they're afraid because they say, oh, it looks like all our young men want to join ISIS. Have you heard of ISIS? Yes, it's the group that they've cultured to teach war. Have they not cultured them to teach war with the video games? Yes. And they say, oh, we are afraid our young boys, young men are all wanting to join ISIS. And I say, oh, it's the video games. If you saw the news lately, the ISIS man has the gun. He's not afraid to use it. Where has he been cultured? Who has cultured him? Great house of Yahweh. I'll just show you this one really fast. Who cultured them to dress this way? House of Yahweh, do we want to be a part of this? Do we want our young girls to be a part of this? This morning, did we hear true Yahweh's be taught to us by the great young teachers who have been taught only Yahweh's way? My war plane. It's only war. Everything in the war is in the world is retaliation and war. And did you hear? One of the leaders of the world said of the USA, he said, we are going to follow ISIS all the way to the gates of hell. And when he's finished following them there, what is he going to do? Where is he going to go? House of Yahweh, do we see the distinction between Yahweh's way and the way of the world? Whatever the culture of the world is, if it teaches this, oh, I hate to say it, it is not Yahweh's way. No matter what culture it is. Does that make sense, great house of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. And just to end, did you say you agree that the house of Yahweh has its own Yahweh's way culture? So can we hear the lovely song, please? I have the pleasure of turning over to the great priests of Yahweh.